Old Testament reading is found in Psalm 40, verses 1 through 4. I waited patiently for the Lord. He turned to me and heard my cry. He lifted me out of the miry pit, out of the mud and mire. He set my feet on a rock and gave me a firm place to stand. He put a new song in my mouth, a hymn of praise to our God. Many will see and fear the Lord and put their trust in him. Blessed are those who make the Lord their trust. Here ends the reading. May the Lord bless it to our companions today. Well, this morning, I'd like to think a little bit about keys to less stress and more happiness, something I think we can all use. But first, I'd like to get started with something a little humorous. There was a little boy that was in the Little League, and he was all excited about that. So he goes up to his coach before going to bat, and the coach says, "Now, Johnny, do you remember how to do your best at bat?" And Johnny said, "Yes, sir." And the coach said, "How's that?" And Johnny said, "Focus, give it your best swing, and have fun." And the coach said, "That's right. Do you think you can go do that?" And he said, "Yes, but could you tell that to the woman yelling her head off over there in the stands? She's my mom." Well, when you think about that story for a moment, which person is most like you? Probably we've all had moments when we're like each of those. Maybe we're like the stressed yelling mom, or I might add, fathers, maybe yours. Or maybe we're like the coach giving some advice and encouragement, or hopefully we've all had a moment where like a boy or a little girl in a Little League game that learned to focus, give it your best swing, and have fun. But I think God wants us to have roles in life, less stress and more of the other two. But when you go through life, there are times in our life where all of us get stressed. And there's lots of things to get stressed about, isn't there? I mean, we face financial challenges. Sometimes we face challenges in our health. Sometimes there's some challenges in relationships or families, whatever it is. I know even myself, when this month began on a Sunday and went on the way to church, everything went relatively well. All of a sudden, my car stalled, overheated, you know, what happened, and I would want to panic. And then finally this week, I found out it was my heater core, and then it's not a costly car, and actually replacing the heater core is not that difficult. There's only one problem. You have to take off the entire dash in a Jeep to get at that. Anyway, I was going to do that, and my mom said, "You know, there's airbags and their safety. Why don't you just let people know what they're doing? Go ahead." That's a lot of money, but I did that. I went like, "You know, there's a lot of safety issues, so just let go of the stress. It needs to be done. Let people know what they're doing." Well, life's like that. There's moments when we can do something, there's moments when we just have to allow something else to happen. I think these scripture lessons are great for instructing us how to live with less stress and more happiness. And when you look at this, Psalm 40, Bono, the lead singer for U2, wrote a song some time ago called 40. The name of the song came from two things. First of all, he was turning 40, which I'm not sure if that's a moment to sing about, but seems now in my stage of life that might be a moment to sing about. But the other thing was, it was about Psalm 40. It's kind of interesting because he's a rock star. There's a lot of things going on that he's successful. I know there's had some challenges, but looking at his life, that point in life where there's enough of a point when you're 20 years old, you can look out over things and you've said some success and some fame, and to say, this is really the pinnacle, this is what life is all about. And listen to the lyrics to the song that he wrote. He said, they really take it right from Psalm 40. "I waited patiently for the Lord. He inclined and heard my cry. He brought me out of the pit, out of the miry clay. I will sing a new song. I will sing a new song. How long to sing this song? He set my feet upon a rock and made my footsteps firm. Many will see and fear. I will sing a new song. I will sing a new song. How long to sing this song? How long to sing this song?" Beautiful words. Now, I know I need the glasses and the YouTube band playing behind me, and well, let's face it, I'm not Bono. But in any case, it's a great song, and it's a great psalm, and I think it really has a lot of lessons. I think those lessons really are, first of all, that we need to surrender. There's a moment in life where we have to surrender, and it's beyond our power. I could have been off the dash and don't know what you're doing on a Jeep. And the psalmist begins with this. It says, "I waited patiently for the Lord. He turned to me and heard my cry. And the way it actually begins in the original is, I waited to wait. I waited to wait. And have you ever felt like that? It's actually used twice. I waited to wait. That's a lot like driving in Indiana. I mean, when I first moved to Indiana, someone said, there's really two seasons in Indiana, winter and construction. So when you're trying to get somewhere in Indiana on a secondary road, I mean, if you're in a hurry, there's construction, and they're taking their good old time. And if you're in a hurry, they just wave the flag at you. So there's moments in life when we're in a hurry, but it's like waiting to wait. And there's something else that's part of that, though, and that is that part of that word is not just to wait, but to hope. Hope is part of it, not just a hope like winning a lottery or some sort of wishy-washy hope, but a firm, steadfast hope that we know that God is powerful enough and inclined so much to be able to help us. And so the psalmist says, I waited patiently for the Lord. He turned to me and heard my cry. And literally it is, the Lord turned to me and stretched down to me and pulled me out of the slimy pit, out of the mud and out of the mire. And that word literally is out of the dry cistern. In the ancient Near East, which is sometimes part of America, there's cisterns, which are sort of big places in rock, natural places in the rock, but then they sort of carve out a little bit more. And when the rare rains come, those cisterns fill up with water, and that used to refresh animals and also to draw water for people. But when they dry up, they're deep, the walls are steep, and when you accidentally fall into one, you're in a difficult circumstances. They're not only deep and the walls are steep, but also the walls often have a certain amount of moss on them, so they're slippery too. So the psalmist has said he's down into this dry cistern, which is sort of a picture of the dryness of our life, and the walls prevent him from getting out, and so he needs help from the outside. Somehow, someone has to rescue him, and God reaches down and pulls him up and puts his feet on solid rock. And all of us know that we all have some sins and shortcomings in life, and we of ourselves, that we're capable of doing many great things and wonderful things, really can't save ourselves. And so we need God's help and helping with us. And I think there's a place in all of our lives where we learn that we have to look to someone else for help. I had some time ago, I got my first Jeep, which was a Jeep Wrangler. And I was so excited because I always wanted a Jeep. And then this time I lived in Virginia Beach. And one of the great things about Virginia Beach was I was able to drive down to the Outer Banks of North Carolina. And in the Outer Banks of North Carolina, you can drive on the beach with the Jeep. And, you know, you can go for a mile without seeing anybody. It's wonderful. And you can just stop and jump in the water and go swim in the ocean. And that was always one of my dreams. So when I got my Jeep, that was like the thing I was going to do the next day. I'm going to go down to the Outer Banks. Sure enough, I went out there and was driving on, you know, the top down and the doors open, having a great time. And then I stopped and I decided I was going to go swimming. So I forked up on the dew part, went swimming, and I went swimming for a while in the ocean. It's time to go. The tide started coming. So I get in the Jeep and I tried to go forward, but I didn't go forward. I went down. And the sand in North Carolina, in the Outer Banks, was very, very silky sand. So the more I pushed on the gas, the more I went down instead of going forward. So I tried to rock it a little bit. That didn't work. And so finally, I thought, okay, I'm going to really rock it hard. And so I opened the door in order to sort of really gauge, be able to look behind me. And I rocked the Jeep back and forth as hard as I could. And that didn't help at all. But I did find out one thing, which is if you have the Jeep Wrangler door open and you or in reverse, the sand flies up, ricochets off the door, and comes in on top of me. So now I'm wet, I'm covered with sand, there's sand all over the front there, and I'm thinking, oh, this is great. So I couldn't think of what else to do, so I thought, well, it's just a straight shot on the beach. I'll put it in first, I'll put something a little bit on the gas, and I'll get out of the Jeep, and I will push the Jeep. And hopefully I can get the Jeep out and get back in it before it goes into the ocean. So that was my plan. It wasn't a good plan, but it was the only plan that I had at that point because the tide was coming in. And so I didn't want to see if the Jeep would actually float, because the rumor was that it won't float for very long. So in any case, I got out, I pushed as hard as I could, and it wasn't going anywhere, it was just going down. And so I'm sweaty, covered with sand, and then I heard this noise, and I looked over, and there was this little old man in a Jeep wagon, one of the old ones with the wood on the side, you know, and this little woman, he's probably in his 80s, he's kind of looks white and gray. He looks over at me, and he says, "Sonny, is there, you having any difficulties?" And I thought to myself, I won't say what I thought to myself, but I you know, took a deep breath, and I said, "Well, I'm kind of stuck here." It's sort of obvious, but I'm stuck today. He said, "Why do you think I could give you any help?" And I thought to myself, "What is this little old man going to help with? He's not going to push him on my head. Maybe he can drive." He said, I said, "Well, yeah, I could use some help." And so he said, "Okay." And so he gets out of the Jeep. I thought maybe he's going to jump in while I push. But so he goes around, and he did the little thing, and he took about half the air out of all my tires. And then he got open this back into the Jeep wagon here up, and he got out two planks of wood. And he put those two planks underneath my tires. And then he pulled out in front of me, and he got this kind of toe strap, and he hooked it onto my toe hooks and onto his. And he said, "Okay." And then he said, "Just put a little bit of it, just enough." And he got out, and he said, and he goes, "And once we get going," he goes, just "I'll take you all the way out to the road." So it just popped out like it wasn't even in there, and he drove me out to the road, and then he said, "Now," he said, "you know, it doesn't hurt to take some of that air out of your tires, and if you don't have a pump, you can always go to a gas station, and it doesn't hurt to have some of those wooden pumps in the back of your Jeep, just in case. Have a good day." And I think he said as I was driving by, "City boy," as I was driving on. But you know, sometimes you can't get out yourself when you're in the pit. You need something else. And I think it's a nice image in that, in the sense that you have to be able to allow someone else to help you. And I think also when you think about the image of those wooden planks, I think sometimes it's kind of like the cross of Christ, because when you take those two planks and put one vertical and one horizontal, it forms a cross. We think that God came and God was able to save us. God was able to get us out of the pit by the penalty that Christ paid on the cross for us, that we could pay ourselves. And if we accept that and we release our lives, we commit our lives to Christ, then Christ can pull us out of that and set us on our way to living the way that He'd have us. And so the first thing is to surrender. And the next thing is to stand on the rock. And the psalmist says this, he said, "He set my feet on the rock and gave me a firm place to stand." And you think about the rock in our life, which I think is Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And what a firm place it is to stand, that will withstand all the storms of time, all the adversity, all the things that come our way. We know that it's true, it's tested for all time. It will last for all eternity. We can count on that. We can count on it for ourselves and for our friends and our family, for our children and our children's children. If we trust that and trust that God has provided that for us in our life, and we can know without any doubt that God cares about us and that God will continue to care about us. I'd like to go for a moment to Matthew, the 6th chapter, and just read about God's love and care for us and the firmness that we can count on that in our lives. It's kind of a place to stand. Listen again to Jesus' words. "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow. They do not labor or spin, and yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today, and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, 'What shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear?' For the pagans run after all these things, but your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first God's kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well." That's a rock on which we can count on in life and know that God cares about us and that God will see us through all of life. And so it's to surrender and it's to stand on the rock. And then I think the last thing is to sing. And the psalmist says this, he put a new song in my mouth, a hymn of praise to our God. Many will see and fear the Lord and put their trust in him. Blessed are those who make the Lord their trust. What beautiful words. And when you think about that, sometimes you might be thinking, well, I'm not a singer, I don't have a great voice. The truth of it is, all of us have a song. All of us have gifts and talents, and we use those gifts and talents to serve others and to serve God. That's our song. We don't know that the psalmist was a singer, but the psalmist could write poetry, and the psalmist could set in his heart and mind, and you and I today could do the very same thing. And sometimes we need to take a moment and just sort of make that song our song by slowly reading through it, maybe into the morning or night, and you sort of read through that slowly. The ancient church had a practice called Lectio Divina, which means just slow reading. It's kind of a nice Latin term, but you don't need to know that. It just means reading scripture slowly as a kind of prayer. So not without our agenda, just allowing it to steep into our hearts and lives. And I think all of Matthew 6 is the same way. In Psalm 40 and Psalm 37, listen again to these words from Psalm 37, really echoing very much the same thing. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and enjoy safe pasture. Take delight in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in him, and he will do this. He will make your righteousness shine like the dawn, your vindication like the noonday sun. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. That word patiently is the very same word patiently is used in Psalm 40, where it said, I waited patiently for the Lord. He turned to me and heard my cry and lifted me out of the pit. I put my feet on firm place to stand and put a song in my heart and life. And so to take time to sing our song, to let God's song sort of steep into our hearts and lives. If you're a fan of Stephen Covey, he shared a wonderful story called Sharpening the Saw, where he tells this story from old, where this little boy comes along to this woodsman who's trying to saw down this tree. It's a large tree, and the woodsman's working very, very hard on sawing down the tree, and sweat's coming off him, and the little boy asked him what he's doing. The woodsman said, well, I'm sawing down this tree, and it's hard work. And the little boy said, well, let me ask you something. And he said, what? He said, why don't you sharpen the saw? And the woodsman said, well, I don't have time to sharpen the saw. And as he's feverishly trying to saw down the tree, the little boy said, but if you sharpened the saw, it'd go down so much more easily. And you think about that image in our life. Do we take time to sharpen the saw in our life? Do we take time, you know, mentally to read and to nourish ourselves? Do we take time socially to enrich our lives with family and friends? Do we take time spiritually to pray and read scripture and just allow us to speak into our lives? And if we did, then overcoming the obstacles and challenges that we face would be so much easier in life. So I don't know which image is yours today, but probably in all of life we're going to find ourselves somewhere, either the mother or father yelling in the stands, or a little boy hopefully able to say, focus, give it your best swing, and have fun. Hopefully that's the answer to all of our life. But there's also a moment when we're the coach, where we try to pass that on. And it's a great coaches of lessons of coaching as part of our song too, which is you listen to the Lord, and you ask to help, and you teach to empower. And that's a great coach. You listen to learn, because you don't know everything. You don't know how someone faces a problem. And then you always ask to help, because that empowers the person that you're helping. And then you teach to empower. And whether you're a friend or a grandparent or a teacher, we can empower others. And if you think about that, that's the way God comes to us in our life too. But God does look at us. And God does ask us to do our help and respects that. And then God teaches us to empower. And His words are empowering. And so when you think about life today, and you think about how you have, we all could use less stress in our life and more happiness, think about that we surrender, and that we stand, and that we sing. And it's part of all of our lives. And hopefully we go better in all of life. But God has grace and mercy and all of that. I'd like to close with this wonderful version. It's not from U2. In fact, it's an old hymn, but I think it says much the same way. But let me give you this story, which is a famous songwriter by the name of James Rowe. He was born in 1865 in Wales on January 1st. He was the fifth of nine children, but the first boy. Had a difficult life, but at 24, he immigrated to the United States, moved to Albany, New York. There he also had a difficult time. He was a teacher, a government worker, a railroad worker, and even an inspector for the Hudson River Humane Society. In all that work, he found time to write over 20,000 hymns and songs, both the lyrics and the melody. And some of the songs that he wrote were these: God Holds the Future in His Hands, I Walk with the King, and one of my favorites, If I Could Hear My Mother Pray Again. One of the ones he also wrote was song Love Lifted Me, one of my favorite songs. His daughter said this about that. She said it was difficult enough for him to find time amid all that work to write those hymns and songs, but it was even more difficult because he had a very severe form of arthritis. And so every time he picked up the pen to write either the lyrics or the notes for music, it caused him incredible pain. I'd like you just to take a moment and listen again to the lyrics to this song, Love Lifted Me, because it reflects a lot of what I think is in Psalm 40. I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore, very deeply stained within, sinking to rise no more. But the master of the sea heard my despairing cry, from the waters lifted me, now safe am I. Love lifted me, love lifted me, when nothing else could help, love lifted me. All my heart to him I give, ever to him I'll cling, in his blessed presence live, ever his praises sing. Love so mighty and so true merits my soul's best songs. Faithful, loving service too, to him belong. Souls in dangers look above, Jesus completely saves. He will lift you by his love out of the angry waves. He's the master of the sea, billows his wills obey. He your savior wants to be saved today. Love lifted me, love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me. We join you in prayer. Gracious God, we come to you today, and all of us have moments in life where we face some stress and some distress, and help us, Lord, to turn it over to you and just to realize that some things are simply beyond us, beyond our knowledge, beyond our power, beyond our understanding, but we can trust you. And so we turn over our sins and shortcomings, we turn over the worries and anxieties, and we know with full confidence that you will lift us up. You will set our feet on the firm rock of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, who paid all the price on the cross for our forgiveness and new life. And then with the power of the resurrection, gives us a firm hope of eternal life, and a hope also that you can bring through every tragedy and give us triumph. Help us, Lord, to trust you. And help us, Lord, to find our song and to sing it so that others may see and to come to a saving knowledge of you. Say, blessed are we, blessed are those who put their trust in the Lord. May we do this through your power and to your glory. Amen.